And since we're talking about embodiment, I will say that if you're not going to occupy that space, something or someone will occupy it for you.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. My beloved ecstatics, you know, I talk a lot about embodiment. We talk a lot about embodiment on this show. And sometimes we're not really certain whether we are embodied or not. And that awareness is key to take ourselves deeper and to really create the life that we want to create. So today we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. Honestly, she is a person that when I met her, I just was really fell in love with her. And I've always just resonated with her. We've had a couple of collaborations together. And it's always just been such a delight to be with her in her presence. So I'm just so deeply honored and excited to have her on here today. Dr. Mary Sanders, who is wholeheartedly committed to supporting women to transform how they show up in their life, helping them to create thriving health, happiness, and purpose. She utilizes energy medicine, chiropractic, functional blood chemistry analysis, and positive psychology. She is a well-rounded woman. Dr. Mary, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Sincerely, Alara, the honor is all mine. I mean, sincerely, every time that we hold space together, I walk away. I feel more full of myself. I feel more alive. I feel more vibrant. So I'm happy to be here with you. And I'm looking forward to connecting with your listeners as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. And I'll have to come visit you one day in Boulder. Dr. Mary lives in Boulder, Colorado. So I'll have to go visit her there and have her do some body work on me. Dr. Mary, let's start with the conversation of what is embodiment to you?
That is a very loaded question, but I'm so happy that you started with that. This will open up the conversation into multi-layers, and I'm certain that it will be juicy because this, the two of us aligning with this topic is always a good thing. Embodiment, goodness gracious, through my 30-plus years in holding space for other people in their healing and their transformation, I have witnessed people accepting the empowerment and accepting the right for healing themselves, and it becomes multi-layered. So you heal one layer, and then perhaps another layer unravels and becomes present to you. And then once you unravel that, then yet multidimensionally, yet another layer opens up. And I know that this journey, goodness gracious, we would love all of us for it to be linear, but it is anything but linear. So you can be working on the physical body and something pops up from the emotional body. You could be working on the emotional body and then all of a sudden there's an energetic system that goes haywire. It's all interconnected. And so when I talk about embodiment, it is the idea that as you are going through your healing transformation, you are completely grounded. Meaning your spirit will reside within his or her human home. If that's when the greatest transformation and healing will occur. So with that, I'll be honest with you, Alara, you know this. This is what you're holding space for. And the women that you support, there comes a responsibility. There becomes a responsibility for that spirit to reclaim pieces, parts of themselves that they may have left, lingering or fragmented out into the universe and beyond, and they get to recall all of that energy, that life force energy, that kundalini energy, that earth energy that circulates within all of us. So I think an important part about embodiment is to know when you're not embodied. Because again, we go in and out of cycles. And I think the layer, the deeper we go in the layers of our healing, we will begin to notice the signs, the symptoms as to when we're not embodied. And those become yet another somatic experience or awareness for us to come back home. So I myself, personally, Alara, I'll share with you and with the audience in that I find that process quite frustrating, to be honest with you. Because I think that, you know, as you go through this healing journey, you gather tools and tips and resources and people to support you in that process. And then when you wake up and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm going sideways here. I don't know if I'm grounded in my body. I can't even feel my feet. Where is my spirit? Where has she gone? That's when I become like, oh, right. This is part of the process. I'm not embodied right now. So consequently, I have to come back to self and I get to ask for help. All of us get to ask for help. And then we start to come back slowly into the transformative process of wherever we are on our journey.
Yeah, I love how you spoke to the unraveling, because it is an unraveling process. And, you know, we want to be at the end, but that wouldn't be the journey of the embodiment of our divinity into our human self. And the journey is where we learn, right? The journey is where we grow. And really the journey is where we're able to take up the wisdom that we can also assist others. And I also love how you spoke to, that it's frustrating. It can be frustrating, right? And I find both for myself and for my clients that sometimes we want to be somewhere that we're not, right? We want to be more than we are. We want to be in a different place than where we are. We want to be experiencing different things. And I find this a lot, particularly with embodiment and somatic experiences, resolving of trauma. And the key oftentimes is just to really accept where we are.
Mm-hmm. So true.
What is your experience with your clients and that frustration of where they are and where they want to be with regards to their embodiment?
You know, I think we're coming right out of the holiday season. At the time of this recording, it's early January. So we just got done with whatever Thanksgiving, whatever Christmas, whatever the New Year's brought for us. And the idea of being in present time, especially during those times of the year, I think it's really challenging. And so when I say present time consciousness, I start to think about those people who are forward thinking and maybe anxious about something that has yet to manifest or yet to come. And then on the flip side, you know, and it can happen just at the moment is 60 minutes or 60 seconds or less. But on the flip side of the coin, you get those that are focused on the past and are more depressed because of what has occurred or what is no longer the same as what it used to be. And so the idea of grounding into present time originates, Alara, I'll share with you, and I know you and I have had conversations about this, is a beautiful energy center that resides right in the kind of like about an inch behind the physical eyeballs. So behind the physical eyeballs is an optic nerve, and that optic nerve then enters into the cranium, into the skull, and those nerves cross. And at that crossing point, there's a pivotal energy center, and they call it a minor chakra, but I believe that it's a major chakra, that if we are out of alignment and not in present time, then this energy center, this vortex, could be off its axis, and it may be spinning too slow or too fast. And so the idea of bringing that frequency back and resonating it with the Earth's frequency, which is available to us through the Earth itself, Mother Earth, then we become more oriented in present time. And I think that that's part of the first part, not the first part, but the beginning phases of embodiment, because it is easy to allow our mental brain and the looping thoughts to take us someplace other than where we are. And as you alluded to, the idea that when we're on the healing journey and we're thinking about, oh, I wish I've already, you know, transformed this, or I wish I was someplace other than where I am today. And where you are today is absolutely divine, which you said, Alara, and it is perfect. You may not be comfortable, but it's perfect for where you need to be. You and your spirit need to be in present time. So to enhance that, then the idea of grounding down through the timing clock becomes very supportive.
Yeah, I love how you speak to being caught in the past is this expression of depression, and being caught in the future is the expression of anxiety, right? And and the minor chakra that you're speaking to, helping us to ground in and align. So how do you recommend, or how do you help your clients to connect to that chakra and to align it?
That's a legitimate question. And so the first step, I think, would be introducing the idea and the familiarity of what the earth frequency feels like. It's a very, from my perspective, it's very nurturing. It's very soothing. It's very like mud bathy. It's very like brown. It's very organic. It's like this yummy frequency that is available to all of us at all times. It's just whether or not we consciously choose to take the time out of our busy schedule and to create the space to meditate and intentionally connect into that frequency. And meditation's not the only way to do it. You can, you know, create an earthing experience just by being outside, walking barefoot within your yard, or gardening, or taking a hike. And sometimes, depending upon where you live, the seasons affect that. So where I live in Boulder, Colorado, you know, it becomes a little bit more challenging during the winter months to get my feet, you know, physically on the earth. But I set that intention, and I know that familiarity, that when I'm meditating and I open up the feet chakras and I open up the leg meridians to allow that nutrient-rich, dense, soil-type frequency to enter into my physical body, that allows me to connect to the earth's frequency. So you get to become familiar with that frequency so that when you do start to go into the space of the timing clock, you know what it feels like to resonate when that energy center is connected and spinning and resonating at that earth's frequency. It's slow, it's rhythmic, it's organic. I keep using those words, but the descriptive words that you use to describe the soil and the earth, that's the essence, the feeling, the connection that you get once you ground and once you connect the timing clock into the frequency of Mother Earth.
That's so delicious. I love how you said mud bath, because you can really kind of just feel that, can't you? Like when you're in a mud bath, I actually have never taken a mud bath, but I can imagine what it feels like, because I love baths, and mud would have a lot more viscosity, right? It's much thicker and it would have more weight, right? And it really makes me think about, I don't know if you've ever heard of Temple Grandin, but Temple Grandin was really a pioneer is understanding autism and actually animals. And she was the original creator of the what we know as the thunder jackets and stuff for animals that squeeze them. You make it tight around their bodies to help them feel safe and come out of fear and anxiety. And that's what I feel when I'm in that kind of that place of like sitting in a mud bath, is the weight, right, of the mud. Another example of this would be weighted blankets. So some people really enjoy that weight. And it's kind of that it just weights on you and weights you down and kind of grounds you in and holds you, right? And of course, the mud is very earthy and nurturing. But I agree with you that I find Mother Gaia's energy to be, I mean, to me, it's the mother. It's the Ma energy, which is deeply, deeply nourishing to our body and to our being, nourishing and it's, you know, nurturing as well. And so I just loved how you described that. And so I just wanted to clarify for the audience, you're calling that minor chakra the timing clock. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have to share with you that I'm smiling because I recently saw Temple in a live discussion, probably a couple of months ago. Wow. And her essence, even though, you know, she is autistic herself, her essence and what she holds space for and the animal husbandry and for the welfare of animals and also for allowing them the space, as you said, to feel safe and secure, I think she is truly a pioneer and very innovative. And so the idea that mud, I mean, it clings to you.
Yes.
You're talking about the viscosity of, you know, you talk about the weight of mud. There isn't a pore, there isn't a crevice, there isn't a fingernail that the mud will not infuse and cling upon. Mm-hmm. And so in that respect, it's very nurturing. It is as if you are being held. And maybe the listeners have not had the experience of having a mud bath. And if you haven't, please do so. Please do so. But if that's not available to you, just think about the next time that you have the opportunity to maybe sit your, you know, place your feet on the side of a stream and kind of, you know, work your feet in there to where you feel the mud kind of caressing in between your toes. You'll get the same kind of experience, the same as if you're at the beach.
Yes, you know, I was going to say that. Yes.
Nestle your feet, dig in, you know, make a little sand pile over your physical body and just bury yourself. And then the invitation then becomes for you to surrender and trust that you will be cared for. You'll be loved. You'll be supported. You'll be nurtured.
Yeah, it's so funny we were talking about the beach because my son, they just went to the beach and he was talking about that feeling where you're close to the waves, right? And it's kind of that quicksand feeling where your feet kind of sink down in and they stop, but you're really grounded. Like you are there, right? That's such a beautiful representation. I think most people have probably experienced one of those in their life. So let's go back to... Well, first I want to say, you know, for me, Mother Nature has been absolutely imperative to my experience and more importantly, my healing. I grew up in a lot of nature, surrounded by a lot of nature, and I just, you know, was able to cultivate that throughout my life and long before I knew the importance of it for me and my process. Now I insist upon it. But even before that, it's been throughout my life that I've had her. And, you know, particularly in very hard times, and I just want to say this to the audience because it's so important. If you're going through challenging times, you know, when I got a divorce and I was really just facing a lot in myself, you know, I would feel that tension in my body, feel the anxiety of the unknown, right? And the uncertainty of the unknown and how is this all going to happen? And all those crazy thoughts, right? Just going in the head. And I would just go out into Gaia. And I always say that she just sucks it right out of me. Because if you just really set the intention to let her, she literally will. You'll go on a walk and by the end of it, you're like, wow, I just feel so much better. So if that's a tool that you can utilize, she's just such a beautiful ma to us all and such a powerful healer for us all.
I agree, Alara. The only thing I would want to add into this conversation is I, like you, as a young girl, I had nature accessible to me. We had a creek in the backyard. We had a ravine. We had places to run. So I very much, as a young girl, I knew that I just wanted to be outside. I felt better when I was outside. And as I progressed into my younger adulthood, I thought that I maintained my grounding. And this was a lesson, and this is what I want to share. I thought that because I did yoga 3 to 4 times a week, the fact that I was exercised on a consistent basis, I thought I was really connected to my physical body. And I falsely assumed that because I was connected to my physical body, that I was grounded. And that's not the case, unfortunately. Meaning that even though I was connected to my physical body, I still energetically was sliding out my seventh chakra every opportunity that I had. And it wasn't until, you know, I was being observed, you know, in my meditation that the invitation was for me to narrow down the aperture of my seventh chakra so that I could then ground down and deeply connect, you know, in the width and the depth with Mother Earth. So, you know, everybody has their own journey. So if you're just beginning on this journey, I invite you to approach it from a place of compassion.
No, I love that so much because I had actually the same experience. I exercised throughout my whole life and then I started doing yoga and I did all the things. And then I started realizing that I actually wasn't present in the moment and I wasn't embodied. So let's go into that a little bit more. That was the next question I wanted to ask of like, how can people, because yeah, it does make sense to think, okay, well, I'm connected to my body or I'm exercising, I'm doing these things, I'm embodied, right? What are some red flags or some signals that can tell them that they're actually not as embodied as they might think that they are?
Yeah. And I think that these are common symptoms, if you will. So it's going to be somewhat challenging for people that are in this transitional journey of becoming embodied. But if you find that you're absent-minded, you forget things, you're unable to finish sentences, you're running into doorways or door jams, if you find that you're not stable on your feet, or if you trip or fall, if you find you have more looping thoughts, or you feel disjointed, or you're unable to execute a task, even though you have your list in front of you. Those are some examples of you just might be running too darn fast in your life and that you're not taking the time to recenter and to reground. So those are some common things that show up when I'm holding space for other people. And Alara, I know that you have, I would be interested in having you add to that list because every practitioner observes it in different ways.
Yeah, I have to just say that I love the running into the door. I can tell you, specifically when I'm going through like a physical shift, I'll start to drop things, you know, I'll become clumsy and it usually just lasts a day. I become clumsy and I'll hit my shoulder on the door frame. And I'm always like, okay, my body's going through a shift. And so I bring a little bit more awareness, but it makes me laugh because I've experienced that so many times. Yeah. And I would definitely say, you know, one of the things is kind of the absent-mindedness that goes along with you of, you know, sometimes we like go into a room and we forget why we came in there, right? Or another way is if we find ourselves subconsciously disconnecting. Like one thing that I notice is that I'll start to grab my phone more, right? As soon as I start grabbing my phone more, I like put the phone down, sit down, connect, because I can tell that we start to try to disconnect even more. So we'll go into our screens even more. We'll try to find those escapes because we're avoiding something that's in the body. Right. There's something there that we don't want to feel, because to me, the state of being not embodied is really a state of not wanting to feel something, not wanting to experience something. And most of the time, we're not aware of what that truly is. It could be physical pain. It could be emotional pain. There could be a trigger there that recently got triggered that we're not totally and completely aware of. So we might find ourselves, you know, I have some clients who will reach for the wine, you know, and start drinking more wine. Anything, you know, shopping used to be one of the ways that many years ago, that was kind of the way that I started to connect to myself, where I would get into these cycles where I would all of a sudden go online and just shop a bunch. And there wasn't really any like basis behind it. And I started noticing the pattern and realizing that was one of the ways that I would disconnect when I felt like I needed to avoid something. So any of those kind of repetitive patterns that people know that they have addictions, maybe overeating, right? If they find themselves consuming more than they normally do, or kind of repeating patterns with their consumption of food, those kind of repetitive patterns where they're trying to get out of something that they're currently experiencing and they'll go back into subconscious patterning. I find that to be really, really powerful, because it's once you start becoming aware of it, you'll see when it comes back in. And you'll start to see, first off, you'll just find yourself in the middle of it, right? And be like, oh, here I am again. And then as you become more aware of it, you'll start to connect to the moments before you go into it, right? Like, what are the red flags that start to take you into that pattern? And you stop yourself even sooner. So it's a fun process to see those patterns.
I'm so thankful that you brought up the idea of addictions. So again, addictions for me is just anything that takes you out of that present time consciousness. If you're trying to if you're leaning into food, or better yet, let's just use the example of leaning into sugar and using that to shift the biochemistry within your physical body, ultimately it will shift the emotional response and the energetic response. And so, Alara, thank you so much for talking about that. The only other one that I would add is daydreaming. So if you start to find yourself, oh, I can't wait until my next retreat, I can't wait until my next vacation or my next beach time, you know, anything that takes you away. And again, energetically, if you're, you know, I use the gesture like away, but what literally is happening is that the life force energy and the density of your spirit leaves your physical body and goes someplace else. So that creates a vacancy within your physical body and the subtle energetic body that runs within you and surrounds you. And since we're talking about embodiment, I will say that if you're not going to occupy that space, something or someone will occupy it for you. So that embodiment piece that Alara and I are talking about is that reclamation energetically of having that spirit occupy 100% of your physical body and your energetic body, the auric layers and the chakra systems and the various different energetic systems that run within your body. And when you're doing the healing journey, you know, that we support women in clearing and charging and transforming those areas of lesser frequencies, we always need to come back to the idea, A, number one, I want to introduce this concept because we've been talking about the nurturing energy of Mother Earth, and as Alara says, you know, the frequency of Gaia. So we're releasing that which no longer serves us in present time. And then we get to support and replenish and rebuild and recharge with our own essence so that we know we're occupying our space and not something or someone else.
I love that. And I want to go into that in just a moment. And I love how you brought up sugar and just the remembrance that really what we're doing is we're trying to, like you said, shift our chemistry, right? And so usually we're seeking some sort of nourishment and nurturing, which is why this is such a great conversation about the earth frequency and Mother Gaia, right? Because when we start to really deeply connect to her, we realize that we can connect to her no matter what. You could connect to her in the middle of the city, surrounded by people. Once you're like Dr. Mary said so beautifully, once you're familiar with that frequency, you can just set the intention and connect right into her. And then you have that ability to self-nurture and self-nourish in any circumstance, regardless, right? And to really shift that chemistry in your body instead of using sugar or substances or shopping, right? Because we all have our little things or screens, right? Social media, quick fixes, lots of stimulation. All of these things that we get addicted to shift that chemistry. So I just wanted to really emphasize that because that was so well put by you, Dr. Mary, and it really wraps us back around. And then I can't help but avoid, but ask you to please, by all means, continue on the conversation as if our spirit is out, then there's space for occupation, right? occupants. Please elaborate on that for the audience.
Okay. So I love this concept, and this is my belief system that I'll share with you. And I believe Alara adopts the same kind of philosophy, in that as a physical structure in our human home, we are surrounded and penetrated by subtle energetic systems. And so I talked about the idea that there are layers to the auric system that essentially create a barrier, if you will, that surrounds our physical body. And I kind of like to look at it like layers of an onion, right? So you've been in the kitchen and you've kind of sliced through that outer skin, and then you cut off the head or the tip of the onion. And then all of a sudden you have one thick layer that's on the outside, and you can cut right through that, and it gives you access to the lower layers of the onion. The same is true with our auric field. I believe that the environment that resides outside of our auric field can penetrate, if you allow it to, can penetrate in through the layers of the auric field. And so that can show up as holes or tears or perforations or lacerations, or, you know, there are various different ways that other people's energies can penetrate into the various layers of your auric field. And depending upon what layer is being penetrated will affect that auric theme or that chakra theme revolving and that physical endocrine system associated with that energy center. So the longer or the more penetration there is into the layers of the auric field, eventually it can penetrate into the first layer, which is closest to your physical body, and enter into your physical body or into your chakra system. Okay. And then the chakra system, because it is a place of storage, it's a place of assimilation, it's a place of filtering energies that come into your system. If you're not doing the energetic hygiene, and if you are not truly embodying the space that surrounds you, that energy can enter into the physical body via the endocrine system and the central nervous system. And then that causes more dysregulation and trauma and whatnot within the physical body. But the idea of protecting, that it is your right to establish these boundaries and to heal any of those cords that may have penetrated your energy system, or the holes or the tears or the perforations or whatnot. And so as you're going through this process, it's, as I mentioned before, it becomes imperative that if you start to remove things that have been within your system for a while, then it is your responsibility to pull up that triad of healing energy to fill up yourself so that you have the ability to connect with your original essence and align yourself with your soul's purpose. Now, Alara, I know I just opened up a lot of can of worms for you, but that's where we'll start, and we'll just kind of unravel that if you wish.
Yeah, it's so wonderful because, you know, when we're speaking to this, we can definitely be speaking to, there are people who are, you know, in our reality that are consciously or subconsciously attempting to take energy from other people, right? They're deemed energy vampires. And there's also just the environmental factor that can not be beneficial to penetrate into our physical body, right? Like the thing that was coming through as you were speaking to all of this was like EMFs, right? And the increase in EMFs in our space. And this is something I've always been really passionate about with regards to, I like to look at all of these things like, are EMFs good for our body? No, they're not, right? Should we, you know, like disempower ourselves? Well, let me put it this way. I feel that we always have the power in ourselves to help ourselves regenerate, to heal, and as we're speaking to here, to embody and thus protect ourselves more and more from environmental factors, from EMFs, from things that are outside of our field. And so I love how we're speaking to this, because like EMFs, I find some people can get really caught up in it and they can get really scared and fearful about it. And it is something we need to be conscious of. It is something we need to be aware of, right? We need to be aware of completely of our environment, people and, you know, non-people environmentally. And it's so important to realize that you have so much power in yourself, and that when you do embody and when you are connected and you're drawing from the source energy that you are, it's very, very profound, the field of energy that you create around you. I love how you said the thick onion, because I've always noticed that first layer of the onion is thicker. And so you create a very strong protective energy around yourself that is it, you know, the levels of where we can bring ourselves is that we cannot be penetrated. And this is such an important thing to talk about, because particularly with people who, find themselves to be overly sensitive or highly sensitive or hypersensitive, right? I'm a very, very sensitive being. I'm sure you are, Dr. Mary, as well, like extremely empathic, right? I can feel the subtlest of subtle energies. And yet I do no longer become affected by my environment like I used to because of embodiment.
Okay, so I love where this conversation is going. And the one thing that I want to talk about, since we are talking about defenses, you brought up the idea of environmental toxins, if you will. Yes, they surround us every day. And so therefore, it is, again, I keep using the word energetic hygiene or our responsibility to build up our defenses, but we can protect intentionally from external factors. But if we go back to some of the things that you and I were just talking about, that signs and symptoms as to when we are not embodied, let's take sugar, for example, or alcohol. Mm-hmm. If those chemicals are within your physical body, that decreases your defense systems. And so if you're not holding a higher frequency, you know, filled with your triad of healing energy, then you're going to be predisposed to allowing other people's energies, things, places to enter into your auric system. So I like you, Alara. There used to be, I am still like this. I'm going to be openly honest with all of you, in that if somebody said, hey, I've got front row tickets to the number one star today at this huge auditorium, let's go, let's pay buku bucks and go see this singer, I would be like, not for me. Not for me. Because I'm the kind of person that even though I will be intentful. Like, the beautiful thing about our energy system is that it is influenced by our thoughts and affirmations. So if I know that I'm going to be in a large auditorium with thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands of people, I'm going to shrink my aura. I'm going to intentionally make myself as small as I physically can. Like, if I had in Harry Potter and I had one of those invisible capes that I could then be invisible to everybody, I would. Because I do think that there is a lot of vampiric energy in those kinds of environments. It's the same when I go through an international airport. I get out of a taxi or a cab and I'm like, zoop! And I shrink myself down. And I even say it out loud to my husband. I'm like, make yourself small. And then, you know, we go into whatever line that we need to go into. And then we're preparing our energetic system to be closer to us and thus more protected. So, and I think that highly sensitive people, empathic people, definitely this is part of the responsibility of being blessed with those gifts, is knowing how to manage your own energy system to protect yourself. there is definitely a time and place in which you want to be expanded. Like, for example, when I hold space for energetic healing and medical intuition, I want the privacy and the space of my own office so that I don't have to manage my energy system, so that I can blow out my system to be as big and as large and as vibrant and alive as I possibly can be for the service of the other person. But when that person comes into my office and they're sitting 3 feet away from me, it becomes a little bit more, I'm a little bit more guarded in that situation, because there should be and should never be any merging of energies when a person is holding energetic space for the other person in their healing transformation. So yeah, I'm still very aware of my environment and my energy systems. And the same goes for auto-calibrating my chakra systems. Because I know the importance and the relevance and the corresponding themes surrounding these energy systems, I know when it's appropriate to close my second chakra. I know when it's appropriate to open my second chakra. I know when it's appropriate to narrow down the caliber of my heart, or to narrow down the aperture of my seventh. So these are all opportunities for you to take care of yourself, to protect yourself, and to shield yourself.
I love how you talk about closing down the chakras, because I think a lot of times we assume that chakras always need to be, you know, big and open. And I love how you point that out. I have to just be totally open and honest. I play with energies a lot. And so I go into airports, not so much when I'm with my partner or when I'm with my boys, because I'm with them, so it's different. But when I'm by myself, I play. I expand my field, and then I watch and feel everything that comes in and attempts to attach. And then I play with it. And I honestly get a lot of joy out of it. But it takes a lot of deep attunement to feel all that's happening. And it's really interesting to feel all that's truly going on, because there's a lot. And you can feel a person before you see them, you know, and you can feel their intentions and you can feel what they're doing. It's just, it's so delicious. Not going into their energy field, but just feeling their intentions towards you. You know, so it's I have a lot of fun with it. But I wanted to touch on what you said about sugar and alcohol, because I think that's so important. And with your experience, what other things, as you said, you know, that are in our bodies that really weaken our ability? Because it's so, so important, right? Even, you know, alcohol is one of those things. I've never been a big drinker ever. Never. I've had my moments where I've gotten, you know, drunk to the point of blacking out. Like, I'm not immune to that, as my early 20s. But it was never something I was big on, even when I was in my early 20s and in that more, you know, party era. And so I feel blessed for that. But I know a lot of people, even who are spiritual, who really do enjoy wine and these kinds of energies. And I don't think it's right or wrong, good or bad. And I think that there's a lot to be said about, you know, consuming too much of anything and addictions, right? And what you're speaking to of having these chemicals in the body and it weakening our system. So outside of sugar and alcohol, are there any others that you're familiar with that you find directly weaken the system and make us more exposed that you can speak to?
Yeah, and I know that this will be a controversial conversation, but I live here in Colorado, so psilocybin and also marijuana and the accessibility for some mind-altering drugs, I think, can potentially weaken the system.
Yeah.
And I am one of those people that went down and into the Amazons, deep into the Amazons for weeks at a time to follow a shaman and to do plant medicine. Mm-hmm. And again, I will say in the same breath, I think if misused in the hands of the wrong person, and depending upon your chemical makeup within your system and the genetic memory that you carry from ancestors, I think can weaken your system. So I caution. It's just, I caution people with that.
Yeah, I've done a lot of plant medicine, and I completely agree. There's definitely value to it, and it can absolutely go too far or be taken in the wrong context or be, you know, held in the wrong container. And so what else? Is there anything else as far as, more common, perhaps, things?
Pharmaceutical drugs. Pharmaceutical drugs, and even as common as the over-the-counter NSAID, the pain relievers, your Advil, your Tylenol, your aspirin, I think that that compromises your energetic system. Because again, that, if you will, decreases the pain receptors, the receptor sites found within the central nervous system, so that you are not as connected or as in tune. Now, I understand that there is a necessity in the American way or the universal way after traumas or major illnesses where pharmaceuticals are intended to help rebuild the system. And in some cases, they can. But I'm talking about everyday use. And with that, I'll even talk about some of the antipsychotic, the antidepressive, anti-anxiety medication. So, in case you haven't picked up, I'm not very big on the pharmaceutical industry, nor as to what the what medications can do for the energetic system. So, again, I know I have strong opinions, but you asked.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, and yes, there are times where those can be very, very highly beneficial, and times that they can become a crutch, just like anything else. And I, for some reason, I just knew this statement was going to come in today. It was so funny because I was speaking to a client, and we were talking about some things, and when I was getting ready for this conversation, the statement came in, and I was like, somehow this is going to come in, and it was, you know, the understanding that our capacity to hold pain. And I don't mean to be in tense pain, right? But your capacity to relax into pain is also your capacity to feel bliss, because they're the same coin, right? They're opposite sides of the same coin. So when we give ourselves the gift of learning how to feel pain, relax our bodies into that pain, we learn how to transform it into euphoria and ultimately bliss. And then our capacities increase, and thus pain becomes less painful and bliss mm-hmm. becomes more blissful.
You know, this is interesting because I had this conversation just yesterday with a gal that was a guest on my podcast. And this was the idea, the notion that we were tossing around, both of us being yoga teachers and holding space for teaching others on the yoga mat. And oftentimes as teachers, we get conditioned to say, okay, so lean into the posture and lean into the area, listen to the body, look for the source of contraction and let it go. Well, the idea in the conversation, the point was, what if we lean into that area of discomfort or contraction or pain and ask to intensify it? Like lean into what that message or what that constriction really holds for us. Once we can identify from a somatic standpoint, what's the body telling us? If do you have a cramp in your right butt muscle, lean into that. What's the butt muscle trying to tell you? What are you holding on to that perhaps needs to be identified? So it's, I think, a really interesting notion that you talk about the extremes, the contraction of the pain and the expansion into the space and into the breath and into bliss, I think is also that dynamic energetic game that we play. We play consciously, whether we play it consciously or unconsciously. We play, it's like an accordion. Mm-hmm. You know, you go through this like in and out in awareness. And this is, again, the embodiment portion. Yes. That becomes sometimes frustrating, because as you're getting, you know, the accordion's getting bigger and you're holding space for greater energy, and then you find that you're contracting again, that's where the discordance comes, is I'm no longer embodied, or I'm contracting or limiting the embodiment process.
Yeah. Super delicious. How funny that you just spoke about it, because it was like, it was just so ironic to me that like my higher self was like, you're going to talk about this. And I was like, okay. And I love how it comes back to the embodiment and the understanding that this is part of embodiment, right? And being embodied, the realization of embodiment, awareness of embodiment is, where is that pain? Where is that tension? What is it trying to tell you so that you can move through that teaching, that lesson that you yourself are attempting to teach yourself, and then truly, you know, not just let it go, but, you know, alchemize it, transmute it, and move on to the next wonderful teaching and learning.
Right. Right. And you said it, Alara, you said it at the very beginning of the show, and you said it's a tapestry. It's a weaving. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's this intricate in and out, and this alchemical process that you so, you know, fondly appreciate, in that that bliss can come from the cellular level, through the energetic level, through the physical level, through the emotional, through the chemical, you name it. It is so hugely expansive.
Yes.
You know, yes. In light of just sensing and saying, if it's okay with you, I would like to talk about a healing that I had just this morning. I was holding space for a lovely woman, and it speaks to what we're talking about. And this woman, she's very, very spiritually oriented. And she, like, as we are talking about, goes through, you know, the waves, the sine waves of embodiment. And she came to the call today, and she was talking about the balance analytically of things that she needed to get done and to orchestrate for an upcoming class and for a retreat. And she was talking about how that can kind of swing her down and out of embodiment. And so what became apparent, in that she used a word that was so appropriate, and I think I want to share with the audience, in that she says, it clogs me up. It clogs me up. And so for me, that felt like a stagnation. It felt gooey. It didn't feel fluid at all. And so through the course of the healing, we did some things to balance the central nervous system, the right side in the brain, the right side and the left side. And we tapped and we synchronized into the pelvis. And then we were driven to go up and out in a very grounded state. So this was transformative. And it was like we created this scaffolding to access some higher domains. And then what became so vivid for the person receiving the healing was the idea of her grandmother. And I don't know if the grandmother was on the mother's side or the father's side. And I happened to say, well, tell me about her. And then came a whole series of beautiful descriptive words about this woman. She was a midwife in upstate Maine. She was a healer. She held space for other women. She was creative. She was soft. She was flexible. She was strong. She was dynamic. She was all of those things, right? And so what ended up happening, and this is the embodiment piece, knowing that this lovely lady possessed within her physical DNA structure all of those qualities. It resides within this beautiful woman. And so then it became the question of, do you want to maximize your own strength? Do you want to shed light and energy to activate more of this in your life, to become in alignment with something that already, like, you can see those, you know, double helixal formation of the DNA structures, and you can see that gene that's going to be activated and magnified for more embodiment within this physical body. And this beautiful lady accepted all of this information, all of this download, all of this upgrade, if you will, and embodied it as her own. And it was so lovely, Alara. It was so lovely to witness.
I feel that so strongly. What a beautiful share. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I can unpack that, but we're really at the end. We could go into like a whole other conversation with that right there.
So, another time.
Yes, another time. Dr. Mary, how can people find you, reach out to you?
Oh, you know what? I have to share that with the listeners, what brings me the greatest joy in connecting with other people is having a conversation. And I know that I'm in Boulder and some of you are in other places within the world. And so the idea of connecting over Zoom so that I can put a name with a face and an energetic system and to really feel what is up for the other individual, I invite any of you that are curious, even if you just want to have a conversation to ask, what is energy medicine? What does a medical intuitive do? You should have questions about what all this is. So I invite you to consider the idea of scheduling a discovery call. And that's just simply a no-cost opportunity for us to connect one-to-one and just answer questions that you might have. And you can do that as simply as connecting to me via my website, which is essentially my name, Dr. Mary Sanders. So DrMarySanders.com. That's the easiest way to connect. And if you're inclined and if you're ready to find a warmer destination come the springtime here in the upper hemisphere, northern hemisphere, I would like just to plant the seed that I am holding an embodiment retreat down in Mexico in the middle of March. And I believe I have to look at my calendar. The dates are the 16th through the 23rd of March. So tons of opportunity. It's a lovely environment filled with women who are looking to reclaim their essence and to shine their brightest.
Mm, what a beautiful invitation. I hope some of you take her up on that because, wow, she was just totally inviting you deeply from her heart. And it was absolutely sincere and authentic. So please receive her by reaching out to her and signing up for that discovery call and checking out the retreat. Absolutely. Dr. Mary, thank you so much. As we already knew, this was such a delightful conversation that we could just carry on for hours. I'm so grateful that you joined me here today.
Thank you. Thank you. It sincerely has been my pleasure. I love connecting with you, Alara, anytime, any place, anywhere. So you just let me know when you're in Colorado and we will make some beautiful magic happen.
Yes, I will absolutely be reaching out to you when I get there in the spring. So
lovely.
We'll meet up because we haven't met in person. So it'll be so much fun to meet in person. I can't wait to give you a hug.
Yes, indeed. Maybe you can even come to a yoga class.
Yeah.
Or better yet, get some. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm definitely getting chiropractic from you because I love chiropractic a couple of times a year. And I think I told you that I was going to come and get that from you. So I absolutely will receive that from you.
Lovely. Lovely. My honor.
Yay. So yes, fellow ecstatics, please, please, please reach out to Dr. Mary Sanders. If you know somebody in Colorado, in the Denver area, Boulder area, somewhere around there, please refer Dr. Mary Sanders to them and check out that retreat. That sounds absolutely delicious. And share this episode with people you think would benefit from this information. And until next time, I love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.